Hey guys, Tim and Kyle here with Dad Smoking Cigars.
We really hope you enjoy this newest episode of Fresh Review Friday.
So sit back, grab a cigar, and enjoy.
Hola amigos y bienvenidos a un nuevo edición de Fresh Review Friday. Yo soy Kyle, eso es Cigar Show Tim, y esta semana vamos a viajar de Cuba para Hongún, cigarros y café.
Estamos papas fumando cigarros. Vamos a ver.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of Fresh Review Fridays. As we really hope we didn't butcher the Spanish language in that little intro. We did our best. We wanted to have fun with it and be as authentic as possible, because in case you didn't catch it, because yeah, I don't think we have captions for English in there. Yeah. Tim and I, this evening, we're doing something a little different and something we actually haven't done for a Fresh Review Friday.
Go ahead. You take it away, dude. We are going to take you all on a trip to Cuba with some Cuban cigars and some Cuban coffee. So we're going to have some fun tonight covering, well, a couple tastes of Cuba.
Yes, exactly. Delicious tastes. And I think a lot of people have it kind of in their head, and for many years it was understandable because they were sort of a taboo thing, a forbidden thing, especially here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Cuban cigars, because of the embargoes, trade embargoes and stuff like that, getting Cuban cigars in the United States was even more difficult than it is right now, because it's still a little tricky to get these little beauties into the U.S., but it's a lot easier now than it once was, say, 5-10 years ago.
Exactly. So we are both going to be smoking Cubans, obviously, since we're taking a trip to Cuba. I am smoking the Monte Cristo Torpedo. And so that's what I'm checking out. And Kyle, what have you got?
I have the same cigar, except just a different vitola. I am having the number 2 little petite. And I got these actually for my birthday last year. And I still have a handful of them left. So I've been kind of just taking my time with them.
I'm expecting there are going to be lots of comments making fun of me with my fedora and my as Cuban-esque shirt as possible. But when have I ever been known to not just have fun with something and go all or nothing?
Exactly. So we've already cut, so we're going to go ahead and toast and light.
And you know everything we cut and light is with Lotus Vertigo products here at Dad Smoking Cigars.
Yes, yes.
Or Papas Fumando Cigarros.
Say in the comments below who spoke the better Spanish.
The guy asking is going to expect that his name shows up there.
Because I do mine with my narration voice. Papas fumando cigarros.
Bit of a tight draw on that one. It's
Mine's
happened a few times.
A little tighter than I like, but it's really not too bad overall.
No, the flavor right off the bat. And you know, we're going to try and not be too one note on this, because Tim and I have had the privilege and pleasure of being able to try, I think in this past year alone, way more Cubans than I think we've ever actually enjoyed prior. And that's just because we've rubbed elbows with some really great people who had access to Cubans, decided to share with us. We've gotten to enjoy some Partagas. We've gotten to enjoy some. What other Cubans have we smoked this year, Tim?
We've had Partagas. We've had a couple different kinds of Monte Cristos. We've had the number 2 like you've got. I'm having this one. I'm trying to think of what else we've had. I had a couple others, but I can't remember.
I had a Juan Lopez. I know that I had that. And that was actually very good.
You did have a Juan Lopez
that was very good,
cut way below the shoulder and surprisingly didn't come unraveled.
No, it did not. Thankfully, the gentleman who gave it to me, who actually gave you that cigar you're smoking right now. He cut it, decided to hand it to me, and I was already smoking a cigar at the time. And so I just did the cigar version of double fisting. I had a cigar, one finger, a cigar in the other, and I was just swapping back and forth.
There you go.
So, Tim, what are you getting flavor-wise out of the Cubans, or out of your Monte number 2, I should say?
Yeah, the Monte Number 2 Torpedo, and this is my first time having the Torpedo Vitola. I've had the petite Coronas like Kyle's having, thanks to Kyle because he gave me a few of them. And for this, it's mild wood and sort of a sweet tobacco kind of a flavor. That's really all mm-hmm. that comes through whenever I've had a Monte Number 2. It's pleasant. It's great with a cup of coffee. Speaking of which, Kyle and I both have a cup of Cuban coffee that we made in our Cuban coffee maker. For those of you that are curious what a Cuban coffee maker looks like,
this little is percolator.
A little percolator here. And it works great. You put your grounds up in the top in a little cup, and then actually the water all below, the pressure boils it up and through. It brews it that way and percolates and makes you a delicious, very strong cup of coffee. And so that is what we are both having. And we are both actually having a very affordable Cuban coffee, Cafe mm-hmm. Bustelo, which is very good. And you can get a brick of that for, I think it's like
288 or something like that. It's like at Walmart.
Brick. It's great. And so I found it about a month ago, and Kyle goes, "I ran out. Where'd you get yours?" And so I told him, and he went to Wally World and picked some up for himself as well. So we're going all Cuban tonight, other than speaking English the remainder of this time with you all, because
which you prefer that, actually.
I would fake my way through it with very simple sentences. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school, and I understand a whole lot more than I can speak. So
4 years of Spanish. I can speak a whole lot more than I can understand.
Yeah, see, and I can understand a whole lot more than I can speak. So if we travel together, we're good.
Yeah, be a nice balance.
Yep.
So, but yeah, getting similar flavors. This is not the first time, because as I said before, I was fortunate enough to get this box of 25 Monte Cristo No. 2 Petite cigars from my dad for my birthday last year. And I think I'm down to like 5 now, not including this one and the one I have actually sitting over here if I finish this one in decent time.
There you go.
But every few, it's been like a really, really good one. And then I've had issues with them in between. Really tight draw. Maybe right. It burned a little too fast, or it kind of got cracked a little bit and stuff like that. And kind of touching on that, Sam, because I was talking about how they were kind of like a taboo thing because of the embargoes, and a lot of that's been lifted, and now there's a little bit easier access to them. Yeah. And probably in the years to come, I mean, they're going to be flooding back in. It'll change even more, and they'll be using Cuban seed and a lot of other different cigars as well, blending them with the other tobaccos we all know and love. But a lot of people kind of have it in their mind, the impression is that the Cuban is the holy grail of cigars. Now, speaking from your own personal experience, Tim, mm-hmm. what would you say to that sentiment?
I would say it's considered the holy grail because of the taboo mindset that is associated with it here in the United States. When you look at Monte Cristos or Cohibas or Romeo y Julietas or Partagas mm-hmm. or any of the other ones, all those companies, and we can get into the history of Cuban, you know, cigars and all that kind of stuff if we ever wanted to. But for the sake of time and what we're doing here tonight, I think really it's all those companies and manufacturers that are creating true Cuban cigars, 95% of them have an American branding and version of it. And so to really answer the question, though, why do I think it has the allure that it does? I think it's because it's taboo. It was known as being the rich soil, plentiful harvest, great place to grow because of its location and climate control, you know, climate throughout the year and all of that. But we've learned that the Dominican Republic and Honduras and a lot of other places are just
Nicaragua as well
are just as good, in some ways better. So I think that's really what it comes down to for me, in my opinion, is because it's considered sort of the untouchable. People like them. But I know people that don't care for Cubans at all and prefer something from another region around the world. I enjoy them. But I think the allure is again, because of the sort of taboo, you know, you can't have them. So, you know, now everybody wants them kind of a thing. But, you know, I enjoy them, but I think they are very single channel, single note, but good. They aren't
yes,
bad.
And I think that you'd have to, I'm not going to say you'd have to search far and wide, but I'm saying, because I've smoked a bad Cuban once, And that was just because of its construction, not necessarily because of flavor or anything like that. Right. And it was a Monte Cristo from Cuba. It was an open master Monte Cristo Robusto. And that thing, my goodness, I worked on that for 15 minutes, didn't even get a 16th of the way through it.
Not a and wisp of air or smoke.
Barely a wisp of smoke came out of that thing. It was so tight. I took like toothpicks and jabbed at the cap inside, just dug as much as I could, squeezed the crap out of it, and, you know, did all of that kind of stuff, and it did nothing. That was the first. Well, okay, not the first. Go back to our 1 year anniversary. Go back to our 1 year anniversary video, and you'll see an example of what I'm talking about. But it was the first, what should have been really good cigar, reputable cigar, that I've thrown out because I couldn't get past a certain point because of just how tight it was. I don't even think it was like plugged or anything like that. I think it was just, it was one of those cigars that was probably rushed to production through production.
Well, and they're not going through draw tests. They're not going through other quality control aspects that other manufacturers do daily and regularly, doing draw tests, doing other things like that. They're produced to get them out there. And if a manufacturer wants to do that, that's their choice, because the majority of the cigars won't have any challenges, won't have any issues. And, you know, we don't want to say anything that's obviously going to dissuade you, about Cuban cigars or persuade you to not try them or not check them out. Cause obviously they've got their place in the industry and it's a foundational part of the cigar industry. I mean, the global cigar industry. And so we enjoy them. But yeah, I think that there are different aspects to the way Cubans are made and rolled and different things that take place with them, that all contribute to them being labeled or classified as a different kind of cigar.
And they are unique just because, I mean, of the region that they come from, I've never heard of a blended Cuban cigar, a Cuban cigar blended with other tobacco. It's just not done. Not yet.
Right.
But at this point in time, as it has been done for probably hundreds of years, there has, not that I've heard of, not been a blended Cuban cigar. There's been cigars that have used Cuban seed tobacco.
Yes.
But it wasn't.
Those are all over.
Those are all over the place. But I mean, even Cuba has taken, was it Dominican or Nicaraguan seed and passing it off as their own?
They're taking, I believe it's Nicaraguan.
We didn't tell you that. They're taking seeds from other places and calling it their own.
Yes. So wouldn't be the first time somebody's done something sneaky like that in order to pass it off as the genuine article. But that is to say, there aren't genuine Cuban seed cigars being manufactured and then distributed out of Cuba. That is one of their biggest biggest commodities. That is one of their biggest exports. Yeah, exactly. Because they're not sent to the States, they're sent to all different parts of the world, especially Europe and places like that. My dad got these cigars from Switzerland, you know, so it's a lot easier to get Cubans elsewhere. But even then, it's still a little bit tough to get into the country because my dad actually had to pay an unbanding fee. So that way, if they were inspected, they wouldn't be able to tell if they're Cubans. You can't tell by looking at a cigar if it's Cuban. So, and it was even put into a box that was it wasn't identifiable. So it's interesting how all of this kind of works and the things you find out and the information regarding this little delicacy, as it were.
Yes. Because
they're still kind of seen as still fairly taboo and kind of one of those rare things when they're really actually not that rare. You can get them fairly easily.
Yeah, you really can. And you know, it's one of those misnomers about Cuban cigars that, some new cigar smokers, I was down in Mexico the beginning of the year. And I mean, obviously it's Mexico, so it doesn't matter there. But, mm-hmm. you know, of course, they're all thinking they're getting genuine Cuban cigars because it's got a Cohiba band on it. And we won't even get into that because it is what it is. But, you know, and they're like, oh, have you ever had a Cuban? Because I struck up a conversation with some of the college guys that were on the cruise ship that we were on. And I'm like, yeah, I've had Cubans before. And they're like, are they good? Can you tell the difference? And I said, well, you can, when you've smoked enough cigars, you can taste what a Cuban cigar is. There are distinct identifiers in the flavor makeup of a Cuban cigar. And they're like, oh, but, you know, are we going to get in trouble? Are we going to cut, you know, is this? And, you know, there's this misnomer that even possessing a Cuban cigar, you're going to be in trouble. And that's not the case at all. It's absolutely not the case. And we're not here to demystify or debunk any, you know, myths or anything about cigars, but that is one of the strongest ones that I've heard from, especially newer cigar smokers or people that just, it's a fun college guy, you know, frat house poker night kind of a thing. Oh, let's find Cubans, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, I'm sure is pervasive within the newer cigar smokers that are hitting 21 and able to buy them now is, you know, should I risk it? Am I going to get in trouble? If you can find a Cuban cigar, buy a Cuban cigar. There's nothing wrong with it. It's Cuban cigars, in my opinion, unlike any other cigar, have more of a stigma to them, and or more of a sense of a reputation that precedes it more than any other region, unless you're really an aficionado or a real true cigar enthusiast. I don't mean that you're a fake one if you don't know the difference, but people that are cigar enthusiasts and know, you know, much more about cigars, know the difference and can talk about the difference and can elaborate flavor notes and different things like that. You know, you ask anybody that's been smoking cigars for any amount of time, oh, have you had Cubans before? And, you know, someone will go, yeah, I absolutely love them. That's all I want to smoke. And someone will go, no, I want something with more flavor that actually transitions. And so you get a lot of different stereotypes and sort of classifications of, you know, Cuban cigar smokers and misnomers and, you know, myths and all those different things surrounding Cuban cigars. But I think it's fun because it's a dynamic of the industry that is unique only to Cuban cigars.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of controversy surrounding Cuban cigars. There's a lot of mystery and intrigue surrounding Cuban cigars. Specifically, like Tim said, if you haven't tried them or you know nothing about them, it's just like, you know, you hear Cuban cigars and automatically you think luxury and, you know, only people with lots of money can buy Cuban cigars. No, actually, there's some Cuban cigars out there that are actually pretty affordable and you don't have to take out a second mortgage on your house to buy a box.
No.
You know, you might be spending upwards of about $300 to, you know, even $1,000, depending on what you decide to buy.
Sure.
Let's say, for instance, you decided to buy a box of the Bahique, let's say 52. And you wanted to buy a box of 20 cigars. You're looking to spend roughly about $1,200, depending on where you get them from. $900 to $1,200. To buy a Bahique 52, depending on where you buy them from, you're looking to spend anywhere from, I would say, $30 to $50 a cigar. Just depends on where you get them from. And that may be outdated information. One of the last times I checked, it was a while ago. But I do recall that at the very least in like Cuba, you can spend 20 Cuban dollars on a Bahique 52. Not very expensive at all. yeah, that's kind of one of the top of the line at Cohiba. And it actually is very good. I've had the fortune of trying it. Yeah, Tim tried it too. And very mild, but then again, that's most Cuban cigars. Most Cuban cigars are not medium plus, much less full body. They actually tend to stay on the mild side of the spectrum. And I think that's why a lot of people like to smoke them, because they're a very comfortable cigar to smoke. They're a very easy cigar to smoke. If it's, you know, at least if it's well constructed and everything like that, they are not a cigar that will knock you on your butt. They're not a cigar that, again, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit too, some Cuban cigars have almost like a metallic taste to them. And I think that's just because of the minerals in the soil.
Yep.
And look at me sounding all educated and stuff.
Hey, look at you.
I know. I'm SMRT smart. They do tend to have very woody, very earthy notes, a little bit of hay, dry grass, and things like that. And that tends to be it. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that's where a lot of their appeal lies for people who just like to stick to something simple. You think of, you know, all the celebrities who smoke Cuban cigars. It's what they like. It's what they're used to. Maybe they've tried other stuff. I don't know, but you know, it's a very easy, comfortable cigar to smoke. And if you like to smoke frequently and you can afford to buy yourselves Cubans on the regular, then these are the cigars for you.
Yep. Then go for it. And they are constructed well. I mean, this one, I've got the ash going and the burn's just a little bit wavy on mine, but it's holding well. Smoke output isn't the greatest, but each time I've had a Monte Cristo and I've had, you know, a couple number twos, I've had, you know, obviously smoking this one and just Monte Cristo personally for me, even like the white series for me, just Monte Cristo is not a cigar, in my opinion, that has a lot of smoke output until you get to the end of it. For whatever reason, the last third tends to just open up and get more smoke output. But
yes.
But that's just my take on it. But they're constructed really well. I mean, it's burning. It's staying lit. The ash is holding on great. You know that we're not huge on, oh, long ash. Let's see if I can go all the way down to the band. We could care less about that stuff. But it's interesting to see how well a cigar does perform when you try it for the first time.
No, absolutely. And the first time I had a Monte number two was absolutely delicious. I don't know if it's just because I happened to grab the you know, first good one in the box. But like I said, and I'll even just kind of full transparency right now, and this may be even my fault as opposed to the construction of the cigar.
A little cracking
right there, but I've been squeezing the cap a lot. The reason being is that it is a very, very tight draw. When I push the smoke through, it gets a nice big plume of smoke. But when I try to draw it through, it's a little bit tougher. And I already have a headache because something my son did earlier. But no, actually, he just plowed into me and made me yell out in pain. And that apparently brought enough blood rushing to my forehead to give me a nice little headache. So, yeah, I'm
the life of a dad.
Perfectly okay blaming him for that one.
There you go.
So, but
I've been nobody will know, but everybody on the internet.
Exactly. And that's who you would want to know, really. But I've been squeezing it and I'm comfortable doing that with this cigar because I think some people might like, you know, cringe or be like, oh no, you're like destroying the Cuban cigar. It's just like, I've smoked enough of them to know exactly what they taste like. I've had this one many, many, many times. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, leveling with you even more, these are kind of my yard work cigars, just because one, I have a number of them. I've given a few of them away to Tim. I've given them to our friend, Eva Aris. I've given them to Roger Velasco, just because they are good. They are good. These aren't like these aren't my crap cigars. Like, you know, no. I would feel more comfortable and less guilty passing these out than say, if I had a whole bunch of Gurkhas in my humidor, which I don't, just so you know. But, I smoke these out in the yard because one, they're petite, so they're not going to take very long to smoke. And that's kind of nice to just have something short and sweet to smoke while you're doing the yard work. If you just want to smoke something, you know, it's a good one to smoke. This Vitola in particular, not just the Cubans, but, this, because of the simple flavors. And I think that is the best way to describe a Cuban in terms of flavor profile. It is simple. It is not complex. It is not, though at times it can be a little bit on the bland side, depending on what one out of the batch you get. But it is a simple flavor. And if you like simple, then Cubans are perfect for you.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. If that's what your palate prefers, then I say go for it. Buy as many Cubans as you can get your hands on. They are good cigars. Some are better than others. And again, because that Cuba is no longer under a dictatorship and a lot of the embargoes have been lifted, cigar production ramped up really big. You know, once that regime fell and they were able to distribute the cigars on a bit of a wider scale, production ramped up fast. Now, if any of you guys know anything about cigars, which we know many of you know quite a bit, is that you cannot rush cigar production. You cannot push it. You cannot try to make it go faster. Cigars need time to rest and age. And that is even before they've been rolled. You need to make sure the tobacco's aging properly. You need to make sure that the process is, you're giving it the time that it needs. And once the cigar is rolled, it needs at least a couple of years to sit before it's sent out for consumption. But a lot of these cigars are barely even sitting for that long and they're being boxed up and sent out. So that way people can buy them and they are a huge commodity. And I understand
in Europe. Europe is the largest importer of Cuban cigars, at least to my knowledge. Last I knew, I believe Europe is the largest importer of Cuban cigars, and they are just cranking them out left and right nonstop. And so you're going to have quality issues. You're going to have construction issues from time to time. I mean, one of the times that I had one of the Petite Coronas, the Monte number twos, I was up in Carpinteria vacationing for the weekend and had one with my morning cup of coffee. And unfortunately, it split on me. I still smoked it all the way down to the nub. No problem with that at all. But it's just one of those things where from time to time they have construction issues, and it doesn't mean all of them will be that way. But the wrappers that are on them are a little more delicate. If it's too warm out, if it's too cold out, like a Connecticut Shade wrapper, they're gonna be more prone to having cracking issues or having burn issues or different things of that nature, just because of the durability, if you will, of the wrapper leaf on it.
Yes, exactly. These are not, you know, Ecuadorian Habano wrappers. They're not, Maduro wrappers. They're not wrappers that have a little bit more, I would say, strength to them in terms of construction and the ability to stay in place and things like that. These are similar to Connecticut wrappers in that they are delicate and temperature and elements affect them. But I will say this, there is a certain a unique richness to Cuban cigars. And I think that I say that because of how it's pairing with the coffee. Because Tim and I have had Pilon coffee, and then we've had this is Bustelo, Cafe Bustelo, which is actually a very popular brand, Cafe Bustelo. I know a lot of people who drink it. And interestingly enough, and this may break some hearts out there, it is not actually Cuban coffee. It is made in Spain, but it was inspired by Cuban coffee, and the company that manufactures this coffee in particular fell in love with Cuban coffee so much that it decided to make very similar coffee.
Yes, and it's a style of coffee as well. So
it is a style of coffee.
You can make cappuccinos and all sorts of different things because it's such a fine espresso grind with the beans, like you can get with Brazilian coffee and like you can get with many other coffees around the world. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's a review that we did on coffee. If you want to learn more about coffee than anybody ever needs to know, go ahead and click in the upper right-hand corner to watch that video of cigars and coffee, and you'll learn more or your brain will hurt by the end and you'll realize how much of a nerd I am with coffee. But it's about the consistency, the flavor, the experience, the levels of acidity, the overall general makeup of the style of coffee is Cuban coffee. I mean, with this kind of coffee maker, there's, you know, three different kinds that are on the packaging for this that tell you different kinds of coffee you can make. If you want to make a true, you know, Cuban style, if you want to make a more frothy one, if you want to do this, you want to do that. There are different types of coffee you can make with it. So really it'd be like saying Cuban coffee. Yes, there are Cuban coffee beans and different things of that nature, but it would be like saying, it's a particular style. It's like saying, oh, I prefer, French press coffee over percolated coffee, or I prefer this. Yes, there is the region that's, you know, credited with that style, absolutely. But it is just a style of coffee.
Absolutely. And the strength and the profile of this coffee in particular, obviously, and I think it has everything to do with, granted, this coffee was not made in Cuba, but it is very similar to Pilon coffee, which is made in Cuba.
Yes.
And
which is more bitter than this coffee.
It is more bitter, but I still enjoy it. I love a good bitter coffee. Great. If you can maybe, you know, and I actually got a good froth on this one. Luis, if you're watching, I tried to do exactly what you told me to do, and this time it actually worked. I didn't use a spoon, though. I don't know what the little tool is called, but it has kind of like the circular wiring, almost like, you know, a martini thing.
Yeah, like it's a twisted spoon, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. And I just stirred it up in there and it made a nice froth, sugar, half and half, just a tiny bit of the coffee, frothed it up. And it stayed on top of the coffee this time, because usually I would pour it in there and it would just like sink into the cup. But this time it actually worked, and it's all gone now, but you'll just have to believe me.
Well, there you go. Yes, and we do want to thank Luis Cuevas Jr. for generously sending us these coffee makers. We each were generously provided one, so thank you.
Absolutely.
And we did not mention at the beginning because we started in Spanish, but our show is sponsored by Casa Cuevas Cigars. I'm here in the Casa Cuevas studio, the HQ. Obviously, Kyle is on the original or at the original location of Dad Smoking Cigars on his patio.
The birthplace of Dad Smoking Cigars.
Yes. So thank you so much to Casa Cuevas Cigars, our sponsor. If you have not tried Casa Cuevas, please go and do that because you will thank us.
Yes, you will.
So we're going to take a little break. We're going to enjoy our Cuban cigars and our coffee, and we will be back with all of you in just a second. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We are enjoying our Cuban cigars still. Sadly, both of us have finished our Cuban coffee because it's that good. But we want to go through, I know, right? We want to go through a list with you that is not our own list, but it is 10 things you never knew about Cuban cigars. And so Kyle,
if you want to know, okay, for sure, but if you want to know where to check out this list, there's a lot of other lists like it. If you just Google, you know, interesting facts about Cuban cigars, you probably find it, but we'll link the put the link in the description below. The first fact that they said, and I actually didn't know this, they were fashionable in 16th century Europe in 1492 when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue, as they say. He landed in Cuba and later took cigars back to Europe, and they became a massive hit on the continent and a must-have accessory in the 1500s. So,
there you go.
Fascinating.
And next one, they're traditionally hard to get a hold of. Cigars are everywhere on the island, but that's not the case everywhere. We touched on this earlier. Due to the U.S. trade embargo, it has long been impossible to get cigars unless you know someone who travels to Cuba. Obviously, that has changed in the recent years. You're able to go back there, and there are places you can purchase them online and have them imported here to America for your enjoyment.
And you'll have to pay dearly for them. I think that particular tag's semi-dramatic because, yes, they can be pretty expensive. But as I stated before, you can find Cuban cigars at, you know, fairly affordable prices. Even in Cuba, a good cigar is going to cost you a little bit more than what you, you know, might be typically able to afford. If you want a decent Cohiba or Upman, you're going to have to pay about $25. But you can get, you know, some lower quality, not as great smokes at more affordable price points, but that's pretty much true anywhere else.
Yep. And the next one is they're rolled by hand in factories that have official readers. Cigar rollers spend their days constructing the sought-after cigars accompanied by factory readers who read aloud from the official Cuban press. The traditional practice apparently continues to this day, although some factories are also put on radio. So there's a little bit of information and knowledge and process verbalized to everybody rolling cigars.
If you want to see, it's interesting. I remember seeing a depiction of that in a James Bond movie, and it was Die Another Day when James Bond went to Cuba to track down a terrorist, and he was walking through a Cuban cigar factory, and there was a very sweaty gentleman sitting in a chair reading aloud the Cuban press while all of the cigar makers were rolling. So I thought that was kind of interesting how they do that. And for some reason, I feel like that would drive me insane.
Yeah, so, I'd probably get annoyed.
Yes. And this should come as no surprise, especially if you've ever seen a picture of this man in any periodical or history book or magazine. Fidel Castro, the former dictator of the Republic of Cuba, he smoked Cohibas. And another fun fact, if you don't know what Cohiba actually means, it just means Cuba. It's Cuba, and I can't remember which original dialect it was, but it was one of the more kind of ancient dialects, you know, from the indigenous peoples who lived in Cuba. Cohiba, just another word for Cuba. So the Cohiba brand is one of the biggest and most famous in Cuba. Very well-known fact. I've smoked a number of them. It was favored by former Cuban leader Fidel Castro. He famously started smoking at 14 and was hardly pictured without one for decades, even handing out special edition Cohibas to visiting officials. That I didn't know.
I did not know that either. So evidently, if you knew Fidel, you got the good stuff. And one that everybody has heard every single time Cohibas or any other ones, mostly Cohibas, come up, there are lots of fakes around. If you go to Cuba and fancy buying some cigars, be careful that you don't get scammed. Enterprising hustlers have made a cottage industry out of rolling fake cigars stuffed with banana leaves and other unpleasant materials. So make sure you buy a official shop. I do not want to buy banana leaves. That just sounds terrible and disgusting. And I'll give you an additional bit of advice. if you go to a port city on a cruise and you think they're real, they're not. Plain and simple, says, they're not.
If it says Cobiba on the band, then it's a fake. And if it comes in a box with a glass top, they're fake. Cuban cigars come in traditional boxes. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have a transparent topper on the case. And if you really want to know whether or not they're genuine, though this can be faked as well.
Yes, and it is down in Mexico.
Yes, it is down in Mexico. The label is fake. Sometimes it can be faked, just like the Cohiba labels. I think Cohibas especially, they really are trying hard to counterfeit the labels there. The thing is, they can take those labels off, those bands off of genuine Cohibas and put them on the fakes. So it is really hard to spot a fake sometimes, because counterfeiters are getting a lot better at covering their tracks so they can sell their crap cigars.
Yeah, they're doing UV lights now and all sorts of things to try and show what the genuine article, the genuine item is, with UV lights, with all sorts of different things. You know, they're trying to prevent that as much as possible. But let's face it, if you're going to buy Cuban cigars, how many of you are going to walk up with a UV light and say, I need to see the band on that one. Is that a genuine Bahique or not? It's not going to happen.
Right. So, but generally speaking, and especially if you order Cubans online, the official distributor of Cuban cigars worldwide is Habanos SA, Habanos South America, and they are the ones who distribute all of the Cuban cigars to Europe and other countries that are able to get them a little bit easier. But probably within the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to be able to see that happening in the U.S. We're going to be able to see a lot more Cuban cigars flooding the market here in the U.S., mm-hmm. which, interestingly enough, is probably going to kill the allure of Cuban cigars, and they will no longer be the hot commodity they once were. It kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's also kind of cool, because a lot of cigar makers are going to be able to blend their cigars.
I was going to say, there's going to be some mixed blends, and that's going to be awesome to try out.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that. So, but anyways, touching on that, they have a unique flavor, and we talked about that earlier. Tobacco is like wine in that its flavor depends on the soil in which it is grown. As a result, only a Cuban cigar can taste like a Cuban cigar. I can attest to this. So can Tim. Of course, flavors change in different regions of the country too. I don't think we've smoked enough to really know, because I don't know where the Monte Cristo number twos, I don't know where their tobacco is grown in what region. Personally, I don't know what the different regions of Cuba are. So that's information I don't have. But they do have a very unique flavor. There are no other cigars on the planet that taste like Cuban cigars for the most part.
Yep. And next, they might not be the best in the world anymore. And we did touch on this earlier as well. To many people, Cuban cigars are indisputably the best around. But some experts say that this isn't necessarily true anymore, as standards have improved in rival countries such as Nicaragua, Honduras, and the Dominican Republic. Aficionados have started to question the dominance of the Cuban cigar industry. And it's absolutely correct. I mean, if anybody that's had a Nicaraguan cigar and Esteli, Nicaragua, the volcanic soil that's there, the flavors that you get, the rich goodness that comes out of the Dominican Republic, out of Honduras, Nicaragua, out of so many different places that are down there. I mean, the Brazilian Modafina wrapper, you know, so Brazil and all these other wrappers are so, so good that they're not necessarily considered the best anymore by many people that enjoy cigars.
Mm-hmm. And then you even think about there's some, you know, decent tobacco that comes out of the U.S. You think about Pennsylvania broadleaf.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
That is another good bit of tobacco that when you blend it just right with, like, say, some Nicaraguan or Dominican. And I'm pretty sure Pennsylvania broadleaf is in one of our favorite cigars, and that is the La Mandaria, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Or at least it's in the Habano profile cigars from Casa Cuevas. So it is a nice little addition to the beautiful blend that is their Habano. And Casa Cuevas has its roots, all the way back to Spain, but also Cuba. So,
yeah. I mean, the first generation of Casa Cuevas worked in the Cuban tobacco fields, harvesting and as a farmer of Cuban tobacco. And obviously when Fidel took over and basically burned down all the fields, they moved. Left and there started the heritage for Casa Cuevas cigars, now five generations strong.
Exactly. So This next one is a very well-known fact just because of the artistry and the unique talents that are required to do this job. Cigar rollers are highly skilled workers. And I've witnessed this firsthand in a very wonderful privilege I got to have. Hamlet Paredes, who has done so much work for a number of different cigar companies. But just to read you the fact real quick, an experienced roller can produce more than 200 cigars a day. In Spanish, a cigar roller is known as a torcedor. So I didn't know that. I did not know that. But Hamlet Paredes actually worked at the Partagas factory in Cuba. That's where he got his start. So he was rolling Cuban cigars, and I got the privilege of getting to watch him roll like a, I would say, kind of a Lancero or a Lonsdale type cigar at a cigar lounge that I used to work at. And it was magic getting to watch him do that. I'd never actually gotten to see that in person. I'd seen plenty of videos and footage of people rolling cigars, but that man is definitely an artist, and his cigars are excellent. If you've never tried Hamlet cigars, do yourself a favor and go try them. Tim and I have both had them. Yep. We enjoyed them thoroughly, all three of them. They're very, very good. My favorite is the 25th anniversary.
Yes, the 25th
year.
Yeah, 25th year is delicious. And then the other two, the Tabaquero.
The Tabaquero.
Uh-huh. And is a good
the,
one.
The Liberation. Liberation.
I knew it started with an L, but I couldn't remember what it was. But the Liberation. All three were good. My personal favorite was the 25th year.
Which is Hamlet Paredes' favorite as well. So.
Yes. So let's round out the top 10 and finish it off with one that surprised both Kyle and I. Poisoned cigars were used in an attempt to assassinate Fidel Castro. The Cuban revolutionary leader was a big smoker for many years, as we all know, and the CIA attempted to use his habit against him. One of many outlandish assassination attempts involved sending poisoned cigars as a gift for Castro, who survived the attempt on his life. So clearly, they didn't lace it with cyanide or anything that would have just instantly done the trick.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact itself, because I didn't know, just as Tim didn't, surprise me, but the idea of it doesn't surprise me at all, because, you know, he was not well liked by most, especially his own people. And so that doesn't surprise me at all in terms of why it was done. It's just only a shame that it failed. Yep. So, but yeah, those were some interesting facts that we looked up, and we'll try to put that link in the description below so you guys can check it out for yourself. And there's a couple other links regarding Cuban cigar brands and things like that, and
all this other stuff. Wonky burn from a vein.
Ooh, that is weird.
Yeah. What's wrong with this one?
So, but. Yeah, guys, that's I think that's pretty much, you know, what we all we have for you guys in regards to Cuban cigars. We have been talking about doing something related or revolving around Cuban cigars at some point, seeing as that people who are relatively inexperienced smokers or new smokers have a lot of questions about Cuban cigars. And granted, we don't know everything about them. There's probably plenty that we still don't know. And, you know, we're learning a lot about cigars in general and still learning all the time.
Yes.
And so, but we thought this would be a fun thing to do, you know, when Tim and I were talking earlier last week, and, you know, because him and I are kind of running out of shared cigars to review because we're burning through, literally burning through some of our stock. So we thought
we've got some new ones on the way. We've got some new ones on the way that have actually a couple of them just arrived. And so we've got two new cigars, but we've wanted to do the Cuban one for a while. So even though we've got a couple, and I've got to get Kyle his, obviously, got a couple new ones to review and check out. We wanted to go over Cuban cigars and just share the experience with everybody out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you are new to the channel, please subscribe and ring that bell so you know every time we upload new content. Thank you to everybody that has subscribed recently. Next week, we will cover the YouTube subscriber roll call. But thank you to everybody who has subscribed, whether your privacy settings show that you actually subscribed and it is visible to us or not. Thank you for joining us in the cigar journey as we are Dad Smoking Cigars. So this has been our journey to Cuba, and I'm not going to end it in Spanish, but
nor am I.
No, but he's Keeley. I'm Cigar Show Tim for Dad Smoking Cigars. As always, we'll see you.
And now your latest installment of Son of a Dad messed up again.
Dude, you look like Trump.
It'll be huge. It'll be the greatest cigar review of all reviews. It'll be the greatest. They're good guys. I know they are. Those dads. Those dads with cigars, they're good. It'll be great. I know.
I'm the guy dressed up for Cuba. That's the most gringo. There you go.
Hola, amigos. Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Fresh Review Friday. Yo soy Kyle. Eso es Cigar Show Tim. Bienvenidos. Damn it. I just said that. I really should have written this down.
Hey guys, thank you again for tuning into Dad Smoking Cigars. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Don't forget to check out dadsmokingcigars.com. Follow us on Instagram at dads_smoking_cigars and follow at Pacific Cigar Show. We'll see ya.